And then we'll read the Word of God this morning. What I think the Lord has laid upon my heart for today, I'll do my best to preach it to the best of my ability, okay? I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 4. 2 Timothy and chapter number 4 in the Word of God. My microphone on, Brother Robert. I put it on. I'm learning to put it on and turn it on before I ever get up here. And that way I don't forget about it. You know, I'm so forgetful, and I'll be honest, church. I hope you'll forgive Brother Hall, but I am getting forgetful. And I guess we all will get that way at some point in our life. And because I put it in a bulletin under my little column this morning, but I wanted to tell you also that I appreciate the gifts last Sunday and what the church done for me. I put that in my little column, but I failed to mention it in the announcements. But, I'm like that. I forget sometimes. But I appreciate the gifts. I mean that. I know they were given from a heart of love. And I'm grateful and thankful for your kindness to Brother Hall. You've been good to me as your pastor. And I have no bad things to say about Island Ford Baptist Church. I would never go out here and badmouth you in front of anybody. You're the church that I've pastored almost 26 years. And many of you have been here that entire time. And I love you, all of you, and thank God for you and for the gift on last Sunday. And your thoughtfulness and kindness far outweighs the gifts. Take my word for it. Let's look to the Lord now as we read together in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. And the dear brother Paul writing here to his son in the faith, a young man by the name of Timothy. And he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, which love his appearing. Generally, we stop there. I want to read one more verse. Do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you've given us. Thank you for the Sunday school time, the fellowship, the prayer time, the song service. Thank you, Lord, for your people lifting up their voices today in song and praising you and blessing my heart in such a way. I now ask you, Lord, to take thy word and use it graciously and bless it in our lives to the honor and the glory of God. May sinners come to know Christ, and may your people, Lord, be edified, and may, Lord, those that are in need today find the help that they need for their life. Help us to magnify you and glorify your name and lift you up above every other name, every other person, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I suppose I want to take now verse number 7 this morning as our text verse where Brother Paul makes this statement. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I want to preach this morning on this thought, and when I get to preaching actually the message itself, I'll slightly reverse that thought to some degree. But I want to preach for a little while today on some things we've lost. Some things that we've lost. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so I want to take that and the rest of the scriptures well here to some degree and preach for a little while on that thought, some things that we have lost. You know, in this chapter, his life is closing out. Not only his life, but his ministry. He's come down basically to the end of the line. His death is just around the corner. And he's writing here to a young man by the name of Timothy, his son in the faith. And he's leaving Timothy with some final instructions. And I think these things mentioned here by the apostle were words of endearment. I think they were words of love. But they certainly were spiritual truths. And they must have been looked upon by Paul as being very important. These are his words at the close of his life. I wonder this morning what you and I would have to say to someone else that we love dearly when we're on our deathbed or when our life is when our death is drawing near and we're about to give up the ghost and go out to meet God. I wonder what kind of instructions or what kind of encouragement, what kind of word would we have for those that are around us. And apparently Paul thought that these were most important things that he was speaking to Timothy about. One of those things was preaching. For he said in verse number 2, he said, Timothy, he said, I want you to preach the word. That must have been something dear to the heart of the apostle. For it is by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen us to believe. He wanted to make that clear to Timothy in his letter, in his last days that he was alive. He wanted to magnify the preaching, not only the preaching, but the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus. You know, someone made this statement to me the other day, and I can't remember who it was. But they said, Brother Hall, there is not much preaching about the cross anymore. And you hear a lot of preaching, but there's not many people that are magnifying the Lord Jesus. You know, and I want to say to you, as long as I've got breath in my body, and as long as I am preaching and pastoring, I'm going to do my very level best to magnify the Lord Jesus. Amen. Not only the Lord Jesus, but the gospel that He came to earth to do, to glorify the Father, which is in heaven, and to bless by the sinners by saving them, and then to bless you and I that after we're saved by the grace of God. And so preaching was on the heart of Paul. He told Timothy, he said, you preach the word. And then also, something else, the coming of the Lord and that judgment that followed. For he said in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so Paul here is certainly, it is something that is heavy on his heart. And that is the coming of the Lord. He is looking for Christ to appear. I wonder if you and I are looking for that appearing today. Or do we just look at it as some simple little fairy tale that somebody wrote down to make us feel good when it comes time to die? I want to say to you that His appearing is more than just a little story. Amen. And it's more than just a fairy tale. It is a Bible fact that Jesus is coming again. And when He comes, ladies and gentlemen, He is coming to judge. He's going to call His saints out of here, and I'm telling you, we're going to face 7 years of judgment. He's coming back and going to spend another 1,000 years, but when that 1,000 years is up, there's going to be more judgment. Only it's not going to be the saints. It's going to be the sinners that stand before the white throne judgment of God. And I say honestly, to them there's no hope. They're not being judged whether they're saved or not. They're lost and going to hell. They're being judged for their works. And I believe really the depth and the degree that they're going to spend in all eternity in that lake of fire that God has not prepared for them. Somebody said, well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God did not prepare hell for human beings. God prepared hell for the devil and his angel. Man goes there because he's rejected Christ. He goes there because he's rejected the gospel. He goes there because he has rejected the authority of God over him in his life. That's why men go to hell. Then I think Paul was certainly concerned about the heart condition of God's people. He looked out and he said, now, Timothy, you preach the word. And you be instant in season, out of season. He said, for this reason, there's going to come a time that they will not endure sound doctrine. Can you imagine what Paul thought? After he had labored and preached the word and brought these people along, nourished them, nurtured them, now all of a sudden he's telling a young preacher, there's going to come a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. Right. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're not living in that day now, my goodness, Paul knew it was coming back then, and if he knew it was coming then, surely we're living in it today. Now, there's not many people going to endure, and I'm going to get to some of that sound doctrine in just a minute. The Bible said that they had turned away from the truth. They wouldn't endure sound doctrine. They had turned away from the truth. It's like those folks in Romans. They held the truth in unrighteousness. They knew what the truth was, but they were unrighteous in holding that truth. And he said they've turned away from the truth. And he was greatly concerned about Timothy. And I'm sure about other preachers as well, and how they prepared their heart for the coming battle. For Paul told Timothy in verse 5, he said, Timothy, you watch in all things. You keep your eyes open. You keep your eyes on the flock. You keep your eyes on the people. Because I'm telling you, there's one called the devil that is like a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if he's seeking him, he's got to look for him. And I'm going to tell you, you know something that he'll find? Stragglers. He'll find those that straggle along. He'll look for those that are straying from the flock. You better be careful when you start straggling along in your Christian faith or start straying from the flock, trying to take care of yourself on your own and flee the people of God. I'm telling you, you're headed for big trouble, sir, ma'am. When you think that you can get along outside the flock and outside the fold of God, I'm talking about the church. When you think you can get along without the church, you are of all men most miserable, and you're wrong in what you believe and what you practice in your life. It can't be done. He said, you watch in all things. Keep your eyes open. He said, endure affliction. That is, you've got to be tough on the outside and tender on the inside. I know there's some of you that you think from the way I look sometimes that I'm the most hateful man in all the world. But you just don't see Brother Hall's heart. All you see is this old face that has got full of Parkinson's disease. They call it poker face. That's all you see is the face and the scowls and the hard preaching. You don't really see that tender heart. I had it over here. I hope my heart's not over there. Praise God. I'm in bad shape. There was a young woman back in our hometown. Bert Campbell was her name. Bertha. And Bert, she had her heart was over on the right side. She used to tell people, my heart's on the wrong side, but it's on the right side, but it's on the wrong side. And it was. And my heart's not over here, but I'm just saying, you don't see the heart of Brother Hall. You have a hard time looking on the heart. If we would just look on the heart of people rather than looking at their outward facial expression sometime, I'm going to tell you, that face don't always tell what's on the inside.
Right.
Amen. Come on in the house now. And so he told him, said, you endure affliction. That is, you be tough outwardly and tenderhearted on the inside. Then he said that they ought to labor rightly. He said in verse 1, he said, do the work of an evangelist. And he made this statement. He said, Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. You can't ride the coattails of me, Timothy. You've got to make full proof of your own ministry. And I'm going to say every preacher has got to cut his own path.
Yes, sir.
Brother, I'm telling you, you think you're going to ride in on the coattails of somebody else? You are just imagining things. Because
right.
It cannot be done. God doesn't call one man to ride the coattails of another man. We're all individually called, and you're going to have to cut your own path. I remember when I came here and the troubles I had here and all that I went through, and a fellow stood in that hallway one day and said, surely you're here in the will of God or you'd have been gone by now. And I said, how true that is, my friend. I'm here in the will of God and you're gone on the will of God. Another preacher I said that to. I said, there's the door. Hit it and don't let it hit you in the rear end as you go out. That's right. Somebody said, you mean you really said that? Yes, indeed, I said that. Because
yes,
I know what he was up to, and I wasn't about to let that happen. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, there's more. I won't say that. I'm getting to the message. There's more to preaching than the ministry than just preaching occasionally. There really are. You're going to have to stick with it. You're going to have to stick with it.
That's right.
You're going to have to be willing and obedient to go and do whatever God wants you to do, wherever God wants you to do it at.
Amen.
Amen. And then you have to be obedient to Christ's command. And then will you stay in the saddle? Boy, there's so many of them that go off to a mission field or they start preaching and they endure for a little while, but by and by, they just fall away. And they don't know how to endure. They don't know how to stay in the saddle. Dr. Harold Sattler preached one time. I heard him make a statement. He said, I want to stay in the saddle till the sun sets. And I'm hoping that the Lord will let Brother Hall stay in the saddle until the sun sets. But now, Paul said there in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished a course. I've kept my faith. You know, and I'm afraid today, Paul, he said, I have fought a good fight. Telling this to Timothy. But I want to kind of reverse that around and tell it to you. Have you fought a good fight? Not just have you, that word fought a good fight does not imply that Paul's fight was over. When he said, I fought a good fight, what he's saying is, my fight I've kept until now. Now, I may have a little more fighting to do, but I want to keep it up to then also. The fighting is not over. I want to ask you this morning, have you fought a good fight? Have you lost your fight? Brother, I'm going to tell you what I really believe. I believe it's time for God's people to roll up their sleeves and fight. I'm not talking about physically fighting. I'm talking about spiritually fighting against the wiles of the devil, against this wicked society that we're living in, against the ungodliness that we're living in America. I'm telling you, sin is eating America up, and it does not seem like God's people have got an ounce of fight left in them to stand against the sins of our day. Oh, if you say anything about sodomites, they say, you can't talk like that, they'll put you in jail. Well, I hope they don't. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not about to stop preaching against that sin. No, sir, it's sinful for man to lie with man and woman to lie with woman. That's called sodomy, ladies and gentlemen. And if it is against the law of Kentucky, and it is, then what on hell in heaven's name can they make it righteous in the land if it's unrighteous in a state, but they can make it righteous in the land? Brother, I'm going to tell you, it's not righteous, it's ungodly. And I'm telling you, there's all kind of sin. I'm talking about dope. I'm talking about drunkards. I'm talking about deadbeat dads.
Right.
I'm talking about boozing. And I'm talking about doping. I'm talking about crowding. I'm talking about idolatry.
Yes,
I'm talking about setting up God, setting up self as gods. And come on, I didn't even plan on saying this, but I'm going to say it. Have we lost our fight? He said, hey, he could not say that unless he was still fighting. I fought a good fight. Fighting the devil. Here's where I wanted to get to. Fighting doctrine. False doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Have we lost our fight on that? Brother, I'm afraid some people have. By the way they preach, you would think they have. There's not much sound doctrine being preached today. What about the doctrine? What about the doctrine of the church?
Amen.
We say we believe it's local and visible, but are we willing to roll up our sleeves and fight for the fact that the church is not some ecclesiastical body out here, some organism, as some preachers say, organism. That's God, I'm not an organism. I am not in an organism. I'm in an organization. It's called the church of the living God. I wonder if we're willing to stand for that today. Are we willing to stand for the truth, the doctrine of the church, or are we no more than a glorified Catholic? Some Baptists are no more than glorified Catholics. Well, I'm saved, you know, and I'm in the church. So therefore, I can stay at home and watch television on Sunday morning. I can watch Awful Roberts. Or Jimmy Swigger. Or some of those other TV evangelists. I think both those, one of them might be dead. I don't even want, hope you don't see him. If you do, you better run. You can't do that. You can't have church at home. The church assembles together. And it's local and it's visible. And I wonder if we've got any fight left in us to stand for that Bible doctrine. Or are we ready to cave in? I'm telling you, there's a lot of opposition out there.
That's right.
Now, hey, tell me one thing. Do you know anybody that was ever born into an organism? When I was born, I was, when I was born, at birth into a family, ladies and gentlemen. And when a sinner is born again, he is birthed into the family of God. Oh, saved people are in the family of God. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to be in a church is by baptism. If you've never been scripturally baptized and a member of Island Ford Baptist Church, you're not going to put your hand in that dish on that table. That brings me to this. Do we really believe in close communion? Close communion or open communion? Are we ready to fight for that? Oh, we say we are, but are we really willing to lay our necks out on the line for criticism from the brethren if we practice close communion? I'm going to tell you something. I've been doing it for a long time. Don't intend to change now. Don't intend to change now. That's exactly right. Don't intend to change now. And by the way, do we still believe in the doctrine that salvation is by the blood of Christ only? I'm going to say to you on authority of the Word of God, you will not get saved any other way. Amen. In whom we have forgiveness of sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now I'm going to say, as much as I'd like to say this, we're not going to get into heaven on our good works. That ain't going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to get into heaven under any merits of our own. It's got to be by the blood or no way at all. Thank God for the old blood sprinkled way. Somebody said, well, you've got a bloody religion. Oh, yes, hallelujah, I have. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to the day when Christ would come into the world and shed His blood for the sins of man. I'm glad, thank God, that He came down on the cross, shed His blood, went to the tomb, got out of it, went back to heaven, poured on the mercy seat. And in the chapter number 2 of the book of Acts, He roared back into this world again, the person of the Holy Ghost, and He's here today, hallelujah. Walking and talking with His people. Now salvation is no other way. Are we ready to stand firm on that? You know, and I don't mean to sound ugly, and I hope people take this right. They talk on the news about those people in Syria, about Coptic Christians. Can somebody tell me what a Coptic Christian is? I'd never heard of a Coptic Christian. I thought a Christian was just a Christian. And by the way, just being saved don't make you a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. You know why? Because they took on the appearance of Christ. They had a love in their heart, a power in their life, a smile on their face. Their dress was what it ought to be. Amen. Hey, and they were called Christ-like. First at Antioch. That's what a Christian is. It's somebody that is like Christ. I just wonder how like Christ we are today in the house of God.
Right. Amen.
On the inside and the outside. Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm seeing some folks on the outside don't look very Christ-like to me.
Amen.
I don't believe Christ is running around showing off His thighs. I don't believe a Christian runs around and shows off the parts of their body like some young ladies do today in the house of God. Some men, I'm telling you, I was in a church just a couple of weeks ago and a fellow come walking in a pair of Bermuda shorts. I said, Lord, I don't want to look at his old ugly knees. If I were to pull my trousers up and pull my right sock down, you'd laugh. It's got so many chicken bites, so it looks like I've been shot with a machine gun. Now, you don't want to see that, do you? And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't want you to see it. Why would somebody want, them old varicose veins in my leg? You don't want to look at them things. I don't want you to look at them things. That means old geezers running around, but they want to stretch out something. I'm telling you, I told Miss Austin, I don't understand what that guy thinks he's showing off. I've got old enough to know that I don't have anything to show. It's gone. I mean, I'm not, brother, I'm like Paul. I'm just about to come to the end of the line, folks. I mean, them days over for me. Sometimes I'm even ashamed of Miss Hall to look at me. I wonder if we still believe in the qualifications. Are we fighting for the qualifications of a preacher? Now I'm talking about being a husband, one wife. Boy, that's running rampant, I'm telling you. Men married two and three and four times saying they're called to preach. Now I'm telling you, you're not a low-rate Christian if you're in that case. But there are restrictions on people that are in that case. And one of them, they can't hold the office of preacher or deacon. Doesn't mean they can't sing. Doesn't mean they can't sing specials. Doesn't mean they can't teach in Sunday school. Doesn't mean they can't work in the church. Be secretary, treasurer. Doesn't mean none of that. But there's two offices that they cannot have. And yet, that's the very office that some of these jokers want into. You know why they want it? They want a place of authority. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people that come to the house of God, and they want the authority without the position. That's that crowd that wants to try to run the man of God and tell him what to do. They want the power and the authority without ever having the position. Amen, beloved. Are we still fighting for the deliverance of souls? Or have we gave them up to damnation? Have we just given them up? Did let them go to hell before I'll do anything for them? Now, Lord, we're to be on our knees at a place of prayer. There are so many souls, I look on their faces and you can tell by, hey, their life, they're miserable. They have, to them, there's no place to turn, nobody to turn to. There's no help. There's no hope. But I won't say to you on the authority of the Word of God, there is help and there is hope and there is somebody to turn to. Now, I'm going to tell you that, hey, it's not me. I'll do my best to give you scripture and help you, but I'm going to tell you, that hope will come from Him. Hope thou in God. Why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I'm telling you, there's hope as long as He is on the throne. There's hope for the child of God, ladies and gentlemen. And there's help for the souls of men that are lost and dying and going to hell. There is still hope for them. What they need to do is hear the gospel. It's the power of God on the salvation. I'll preach it till I'm blue in the face and die. Yes. That the power of gospel is the power of God on the salvation.
Amen.
Christ came into this world, died and buried and rose from the grave. And He's coming back again.
Amen.
The gospel wouldn't have been finished if He hadn't ascended into heaven and put His blood on the mercy seat. But He did. And it's still there today, fresh. Somebody said, now it would have. What's that word they use?
Coagulated.
Ever how he says it. But it's not.
Right.
I can tell you what that big word means. Dried up and rotten. But His blood didn't.
Right.
It's as fresh today as it ever was.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now I'm going to tell you, He's never turned one sinner away from the cross that will come and repent. If a man turns away under his own authority, his own volition.
Right.
Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, He's still saving sinners today.
Right.
If they'll come to Him. Have we given them up to go to hell? Are we willing to give our time, our money? Are we willing to pass out a gospel tract? Are we willing to tell somebody else about Christ? Are we willing to give somebody a lift to the house of God where they can hear? You got help. I found help. If I found help, I'm telling you that. No! If I found help, praise God, anybody find help. Paul said he's the chief of sinners. I don't know about that. You didn't know me in my younger days. And I'm glad you didn't. Hey, I'm glad you didn't. Some of you have never seen me like I was. All you've seen is like I am. You think, well, he ain't much, son. If you think I ain't much now, you ought to see me back then. I was a real rounder. Amen. Man gets on that old bar, John Barleycorn. He thinks he can whoop anybody. But I found out a long time ago, there's always somebody around the corner bigger than you are. You can say amen right there. And then somebody a little tougher than you are. And I'm going to tell you, little as I was, I generally wound up on the bottom of the stack. And that wasn't good. But I was bad in other ways, too. I ain't going into all that either. But I want to say David had not lost his fight. And I'm going to have to hurry. As a young man, David was fighting. In fact, in chapter 17 of the book of 1 Samuel, it talks about David. And the Bible said that he went to Saul in the Valley of Elah when Goliath was there. They were looking for somebody to go out and fight that giant. And here's what David said in verse 33. He said, Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. There's the word. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion, and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now, I'm going to say something right there. David thought it was right to go out and fight for just one little lamb. I thank God we've got a church, but I'm telling you, I would just gladly fight for one little lamb. I don't cuddle it out and say, I'm just going to take care of the church. I'll go to bat for you if I can. I'll fight for you if I can. Spiritually speaking, that's right. For one, that lion, that bear came out. David said, hey, I went out and fought that lion and that bear and just over one little old lamb. Now, I want to say that tells me something. That you individually are somebody to God.
Amen. Thank God.
One lamb.
That's right.
You mean something to God. You're a treasure to God. He didn't save people on a wholesale basis, by the way. One at a time.
Right.
It's a personal salvation. And you mean something to God. By the way, and you are a treasure in yourself. You know why? Because there is a treasure in you.
Yes.
That treasure that's in you is Christ, the Son, Jesus, the Son of the living God. That lives in you. And oh, I'm telling you, that's right. David said, I went out and I fought that lamb, that lion, and that bear. And then here's what he said. He was fighting that, just a young boy now. Doesn't kill a lion and a bear. But here's what he said about that Philistine, about Goliath. In verse number 32, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart faint because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. I wonder, hey, we got any fight left in us this morning? You young boys in here. You better get something on your mind besides a hot rod car and a stinking cell phone. In fact, about 90% of you or more need to have them stupid telephones taken away from them, iPads, and thrown in a garbage can.
Amen.
Say amen or oh me, it don't make a lick's difference to me. That's all you know how to do is sit and look on that stupid telephone. You ain't got a bit more interest in God than a billy goat's got. You ain't got an ounce of fight in you. You're going to let the devil have you and the world have you. You ain't even going to put up a fight for yourself.
Right.
If a man ain't willing to fight for himself, Brother Troy, he's not going to get too many other people to fight for him.
Right.
When somebody is willing to fight for themselves a little bit, it'll put a little fire in somebody else's heart to fight for them. That's why I'm not all in favor of us going over there and fighting that bunch of Arabs.
Right.
They ain't willing to fight themselves. Bless God, what I want to go over there and fight for them for?
Right.
Say amen or oh me. Don't make a lick's worth of difference to me. Brother Leroy said he knew it was right. But here's David fighting as a young man. But as an old man, he's still fighting. In 2 Samuel 22, he said the Philistines had yet war with Saul, with Israel. David went down, his servants with him, and fought against the Philistine. Here he is, an old man. And he's still fighting, folks. I don't know how many years it was, but he's still fighting the devil. He's still fighting sin. He's still fighting the flesh, the Philistines. He didn't give up. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when you give up on your flesh, and let it have rule and control, you're making a bad mistake. You better bring it into subjection every day of your life. Oh, but David was still a fighting against the Philistine. But the Bible said that he waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, the son of Goliath, thought, you ought to underline that in 2 Samuel 22:15. He thought to slay David. That's all he done was thought. He didn't know there was a man there by the name of Abishai that had a sword. Well, it might not have been quite as big as the giant's, but it was a whole lot sharper. Amen. And the Bible said, when David waxed faint, that he had a fellow there with him by the name of Abishai that succored him and slew that giant. Now, here's what I want to get at. I want everybody to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. They told David, said, last battle. You are not going out anymore. Lest the light be quenched in Israel. Oh, somebody said David's fighting is over. Not on your life, friend. His fighting's not over. He's just fighting from a little different perspective.
That's right.
He's not in the main heat of the battle. And I'm going to tell you what he's doing. He's sitting back at Jerusalem where he's safe, calling the shots. Woo! That's right, son. When you get too old to get out in the heat of the battle, just sit back and call the shots, praise God, and let Abishai stand up for you. He'll take care of the enemy for you. If you'll stand and call the shots, the army of God will follow you. And I found that out. I have found that out, that the people of God in Island Ford Baptist Church has still followed Brother Hall. I'm amazed at that. I'm not here every service. I don't preach every service. I can't preach every service. But you're still here. And I'm going to tell you, I saw smiles on your faces out there the other day. You had cooked and labored and worked and went out and bought things for me that I didn't know you was getting. And I saw smiles on your face and I said to myself, Lord, they must love me. They must love me. You know, the old devil will tell you, nobody don't love you no more. Don't you let him ever tell you that. Believe him. Somebody loves you, and somebody loves you. I'm glad you love me, and I can tell you right now, looking you in your face without fear of man, I still love you.
Amen.
You mean something to Brother Hall. Why wouldn't you? I've preached to some of you for almost 26 years. Do I want my preaching to be in vain? God forbid.
That's right.
I want something that I've said to find a place in your heart, to be fruitful in your life, to bless you in your soul, to help you in your family, to help you in your spouse, to stay together, live together, do what's right, raise a family, stay in the house of God, and stay in the battle, and fight against that old serpent, the devil.
Amen.
To the day that Jesus calls you home. That's what Paul wanted here when he said, I have fought a good fight. Now I've got to hurry. My time's running out. He was fighting when he was young. He was fighting when he was old. He was fighting when he was old. When he got old, he fought by wisdom. And wisdom is wisdom. He strengthened and encouraged the hearts of his people. He couldn't stand out there with that sword anymore. But he could still sit up there like Moses was on that rock. Hey, go in there, Brother Ricky. Go in, Brother Joe. Sing them. Go after them. Hang in there. I'm trying to change my preaching. I want you to hang in there more than anything in my life. I want you to stay with God. Go on with him. He's worthy of it. You'll never regret it. I'll guarantee there'll come a day when we pillow our heads and are ready to die like Paul was here in this text, that we'll be glad we went on with God.
Amen. We'll be glad we said like Joshua, for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't a looking back, I'm a looking up. I'm going, I'm not going on, I'm going up.
I want you to go on. David used wisdom to strengthen and encourage his people. Paul is using wisdom here to strengthen a young man by the name of Timothy. And I want to use wisdom to strengthen and encourage you as Island Ford Baptist Church. That's right. Now, I won't say, and I'll hurry through this, I promise you. Paul had not lost his fight. Paul had not lost his faith. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. He's not talking about saving faith. You don't have to keep saving faith. But the faith, and I'll hurry with this, he's talking about a living faith. A living faith that walks and talks every day with Christ. That he said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. It's we're still daily living by faith. Oh, it's a living faith. Walking with God every day. May I say, secondly, it's not only a living faith, it's a leaning faith. A leaning faith. He said in verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. He said, Timothy, do thy diligence. Don't tarry. Come to me. Wonder why Paul, he's getting ready to die.
Right.
Why would he make that statement? You know the only thing I could figure out? Although Paul is about to die, he seeks companionship of Timothy. Possibly he needs a friend. Possibly he needs someone of like faith that he can just lean on a little bit there as a human. But don't get the wrong idea and think that he leaned on human instrumentality. His primary leaning post was still Christ. For he made this statement. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou all aware also, for it greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me. He said, Timothy, he said, hey, come to me as quickly as you can. I need somebody, a companion. But Timothy, I want you to know one thing. I want to lean on you as a human. But I'm still trusting in Christ to carry me through this day. If all men flee, if all men forsake me, Christ will never forsake me. He won't.
That's right.
That's the Lord. If all men forsake you, He will not leave you.
Amen.
Whoa. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Then I want to say it's not only a living faith and a leaning faith, it's a learning faith. You know what he told Timothy? He said, in verse 13, he said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, you bring it with thee. But he said, and the books, but especially the parchments. You know what he said? He said, I've got something. I've got. He's getting ready to die. And he's telling Timothy, bring me some books and bring the Bible. I still got a little reading I want to do. I wonder, will we still be fighting? And will we still have a faith, a living faith? When we're on that deathbed and say, hey, bring me the Bible. I've got to read a little bit. Brother Gray suggested to Miss Cheryl the other night. Said it might be a good idea if you just get the Bible on cassette and just plug it in back there and just let it play with Brother Andy while he's laying there in the bed. Just let it keep on playing. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt him. It wouldn't hurt you. Hey, that's what he needs. That's what Paul said there. Bring me them parchments. Bring me the books. Bring me the parchments. I've got to have the Word of God and I've got to have some books to read. And yet he's ready to die. But his faith is still living. And his fight is still going on. Here's one I've never been able to figure out. Stay right with me on this. Stay right with me. Now, I'll say this first. It's a growing faith. Because the apostle said in Luke 17:5, said, Lord, that increase our faith. Faith is something that don't stay here, it gets up here. It's got to grow. And it is growing. But I'm closing with this. Paul had not lost his fire. Now some say, preacher, he's on his deathbed, but he hadn't lost his fire. Notice what he said in verse 11. He said, only Luke is with me. But boy, here is something that I've never thought of it in this life. But he said, take Mark. Remember Mark's one who didn't go to the work, but he went back to Jerusalem. But he said, take Mark and bring him with me. Why? He is profitable to me for what? The ministry? Brother Troy's getting ready to die. He's done said, my time is up. My departure is at hand.
Right.
But he's still looking at the ministry.
Right. Right.
He said, you bring Mark with you because he's profitable for me for the ministry. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what Mark did at the close of Paul's life, but Paul brought him there for a reason.
Yes, sir.
If no more than to say, Mark, you remember when you went back, you put your hand to the plow and you look back. Let me give you some encouragement, son. Look back never again.
That's right.
Man. Probably brought him there to encourage him.
Yeah.
In the ministry. But what I want to say is, he hadn't lost his fire.
Right.
He's still looking to the ministry.
Amen.
He's wanting the ministry to go on.
Right.
Somebody said, oh, Hall's lost his fire. Don't you believe that for a minute.
That's right.
I may not be burning as high, but I'm still burning.
Amen.
My fire may not be as bright, but I've still got a blaze.
Amen.
It may have flickered every now and then, but buddy, it ain't ever went out. There's still something right in there that's burning within me. And it's the ministry. It's the work of God. It's the cause of Christ. It's the souls that are at stake in America and around the world. It's our God whose reputation is at stake in America today. When his reputation was at stake, David went out and fought. When his reputation is at stake, you and I ought to go out and fight for him verbally by holding forth the word of truth. Isn't that what Paul said?
Right.
Holding forth the word of truth.
Right.
Still had that fire burning. Like them old boys on the road to Medicine, did not our heart burn within us? Had a fire burning for the ministry. I'll never forget what Brother Henry Milby told me several years ago. He was in a meeting with one of those older preachers. Hundley. Was it Hundley? Sweetheart? Was that their last name, Hundley? North Carolina, old mountain preacher, great preacher. I've heard him preach it down at the camp meeting in Greer. And here's what Brother Milby said. He was in a meeting preaching with this old gentleman. He had a heart attack within the hospital. And his assistant pastor went down to the hospital with Brother Milby to see the preacher and have prayer with him. He said this young man bent down over that old gentleman's old body that was about to wear out. He said, Pastor, is there anything that I can do? He said that preacher looked at him right in his face and said, yes, son, stay out of God's way.
Amen.
Did that hit you or not? I don't think it did. Stay out of God's way.
Right.
Let God do what God wants to do, in other words. With you and with everybody else as well.
Yes, sir.
And hey, can I throw this in? I'm trying to shut this, nail this pig up. Let us be like the Lord told Peter in John 21. Peter looked at John and said, what about that man? Jesus told me a word, said, don't worry about that man, Peter. You take care of Peter. That's right. And that's exactly what we need to do. Take care of self and pray for others and love sinners and love Jesus. Stay in the fight. Keep the faith. Don't let the fire go out for 1 minute. If you see it, I wish somebody here this morning would jump up and throw a log on the fire. When I was a boy growing up, we'd chunk that old drum stove up at night, close that damper down, where it wouldn't burn real fast. Daddy said, boys, if we got the right wood in there, maybe we'll make it tomorrow. We didn't have one of them big wood. We just had an old tin, what they called a drum stove. It was made out of tin. And a lot of times you get morning and be out in the water bucket, be froze. Water in the water bucket, be froze. The dipper be froze down there. You couldn't even get a drink of water. Going out to the well, and I went by to go out to the well 6 inches of snow on the ground, it's about zero. But Daddy'd get up and say, "Boys, said we still got some coals in there." That's all there'd be, just a little glowing ember, just a few little coals. He'd get some of that little bitty wood, lay that little wood on the fire, and just start to burn a little bit, and he'd say, Give me something a little bigger, Gary. Give me a little piece of wood." And he'd couple little pieces of wood and cross them in there, and them little bigger pieces that get burned. They'd say, "Give me something." And finally, we'd get that old drum stove built up, and it wouldn't be long. I don't know if you know what a drum stove is or not. That thing would sit there and take drive, and they'd start going, boom, 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 boom. And I mean, hey, the sides of it would turn red. That fire would get hot. What was just a few little coals could soon be a glowing fire, a burning fire, a hot fire burning. We never dreamed that it would burn. But it did. And some people's looking at us now saying, "Will they ever burn again? Has their fire gone out?" That's what the devil's saying. He's telling everybody, "Their fire's gone out at Island Ford. They got an old man down there and they're fed up and tired and themselves and they're wore out. Their fire's gone out." I've got news for the devil. My fire hadn't gone out and I hope yours hadn't. Amen. I preached, bless God, till I'm about to faint this morning. Right. But I believe I'd preach another round if I had to, brother. You know why? I got a little fire burning in there. That ain't no little prayer wheel turning. Hey, but there is a fire that is a burning. It's still burning for preaching. Thank God for preaching. I just about run up that wall to believe. I'm glad God told me to preach. There ain't nothing like preaching the gospel. Amen. Getting up in front of a crowd of people and telling them, "Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Walked it on the rolling tide. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. How? Thy blood and endless life. Jesus saved, Jesus saved."
Yeah.
He does. He has saved. Hey, Brother Leroy.
Yep,
said.
Amen.
He saves. He's still in the save soul saving business today.
Amen.
Don't you let that fire go out. I said that to say this. If you see somebody, if you see the fire going out, won't somebody jump up, throw a log on it. Get her burning again. Huh?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Some things we've lost. We may have lost our fight, and we may have lost that living faith, not saving faith. May have lost some fire. But I'm going to tell you, the battle ain't over. And I don't believe the fire, nor the faith, nor the fight has been quenched at all. Still running mighty fine. Mighty fine. Well, people can't. I'm going to have to shut up. Now, you get like I am this morning, it's hard to shut up. This morning, say, "That ain't too bad." I mean, you take some of the folks in here, and I'm going to call their names. They don't mind. Some of you young squirts in here, you need to stand in the gap. Some of you younger women, I remember back there with Miss Sue, get up there in the choir, and we'd get to singing, "Because He Loves Me." I listened to the radio this morning, the choir down at Tabernacle was singing that song, "Because He Loves Me." Brother, I remember when you're all's mama getting that choir, and we'd start saying, she'd raise that hand up. Them tears would start running. It wouldn't be long. She'd hear out, "Woo!" Say, "Boy, she's on now, son." If anything ought to stir a man up or a woman up, it ought to be their mama in the holy gear.
Amen.
I believe the mama stir them up more than the daddies do. But somebody don't have to stand in the gap. I mean, the older fellas in here. I mean, it's kind of hard for... I don't believe I could run a lap right now. Brother Josh, I don't believe I could run. I might walk a lap. But I'd rather some young fella come along behind me and run a lap. I said, "I don't believe in that running." Well, you don't have to. And I'm not going to say you're right and I'm wrong. Or I'm wrong, you're right. I ain't really. But it ain't going to hurt my feelings. Somebody want to take off like Brother Gray did up there in the meeting. If you'd have seen him on that snake the other day, friend, you'd know why he can run like that. He said, yeah. He was floating in the air, buddy, 6 inches off the ground. He looked like that little fellow in that cartoon. He said, Beatty Gonzalez, whatever his name was. But I'm telling you, he done a dance on that snake. He was dancing and singing in the Holy Ghost, God. But that snake, if it had come to the left, I wouldn't have been dancing. I can literate that. He danced, I'd have died. And I seen that grass moving in the other direction, and I thought, save it a bell, boys. That viper went the other way. Now I'm just telling you, fire. We don't want to lose it. Paul had not lost it. He's getting ready to die. And he said, hey, the ministry's still burning right there. Bring Mark. He is profitable. I'm dying, but bring him. I'm getting ready to lose my head, but bring him. What John Mark done from then on out, I have no idea. But we'll find out someday. And as a what's his name? Harvey said. We'll have to look at the next chapter tomorrow. Let's stand together.